Charles Dickens once said that Christmas is the best of times and the worst of times. Chances are we've probably seen both sides of that. Who hasn't rolled their eyes in that mid-October when the department stores drag out that artificial Christmas tree and put it on display? And who doesn't get irritated this time of year with all that extra traffic around here? And the stores are so filled, especially when you need to go get something at the store that has nothing to do with Christmas, and you have to park a quarter of a mile away, fight through the crowd just to get that carton of milk. And Christmas cards, you know, there's people that we haven't written to, well, since the last time we wrote Christmas cards. And there's some of you out there, to be honest, there's some out there today that probably drove home one time in the last few weeks and realized that you're the only one on the block that hasn't put up Christmas lights, and so you felt pressured or guilty to put up those lights. Those experiences and maybe obligations make us feel like they're the worst of times, but for me, I hedge on this is the best of times. We had the Jingle Bell Run right down here a few weeks ago, and the unbelievable parade that we have here in Bend. And my goodness, this is bowl season. We've got football games on every channel. And you can watch Oregon, if you want, and probably Oregon State, like most of you will. You know, that's what I love about Christmas. Christmas. Sights and sounds and colors, and the kids, they just light up this time of year. But the thing that makes it the best of times for me is Christmas music. I just love Christmas music, and for good reason. Tonight, we hear it. We get to see some of the best performers singing some of the best songs. But one of the reasons I love Christmas music is they're singing our song all the time. They're singing our song about our Savior, O little town of Bethlehem, the first Noel, joy to the world, the Lord has come. They're singing that in the grocery stores. They're singing that in the dentist office. They're singing that in the elevator, at high school concerts, on every radio station you turn to. What other time of the year do they sing our song all over? It truly is the best of times. And I think it's appropriate for us to step back and say, well, then, what is it that makes at the core of this the best of times? And I think the answer to that must be it's God's gift to us. Christmas is God's gift to us. And that gift, of course, is the person of Jesus Christ, who brought salvation to all humanity. I never get tired of my favorite Christmas verse. I never tire, even though we hear it many, many times, I never tire of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Christmas, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. On that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, God set in motion a plan that was established before the foundation of the world. And what was that plan? That plan was to give us the best gift possible. And he provided that in Jesus Christ, who came to us that first Christmas night because we couldn't come to him. Despite how much we tried, there was a cavern or a gap or a wall. It's called sin that just couldn't get us over that gap. But Christmas, on that first Christmas night, it opened up full access to God. And it didn't stop in the manger. Jesus grew up, and it went from the cradle to the cross. No wonder Paul was so excited. I can see Paul just pumped when he said, thanks be to God. In 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for the indescribable gift this Christmas. This Christmas is a gift of forgiveness. Christmas is about a gift of grace. Christmas is about God opening himself up for me and you. So this Christmas, maybe we ought to return that gift to others. This Christmas, maybe we should be more forgiving. This Christmas, maybe we should give the gift of grace. Maybe this Christmas, we should open up ourselves and our homes to others. Rabbi Michael Wiesner sure did. When Michael Wiesner moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, shortly thereafter, he started getting harassment, phone calls, and messages. And it turned into hatred. And it was mainly by a guy by the name of Larry Trapp. Larry Trapp was a self-proclaimed Nazi and a Ku Klux Klan member who sent messages to the Wiesners of white supremacy, anti-Semitism, bigotry. Larry Trapp, he felt his apartment was the headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan, and he was the Grand Dragon. He lived alone in his apartment. He was 42 years old. He was partially blind and a double amputee, but for whatever reason, Larry Trapp targeted the Wiesner family. Day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in and year out, he sent hate messages over and over to the point where the Wiesner family were afraid to even go outside. They locked their doors and they're afraid for their teenage sons. And Michael Wiesner finally had had enough. And so he did the unexpected. He called Larry Trapp. And he started sending his own messages to Larry Trapp. And his message was one that was just the opposite. He told Trapp on his phone messages that there's another side of life. There's love and there's forgiveness. One time when he called, Larry Trapp answered the phone to his surprise. And Wiesner, knowing that he was disabled, offered him a ride to the grocery store. The kindness disarmed Trapp. And that started a relationship. And through time, they began to talk. To one point, the Wiesners went over to the Trapp apartment and said, we're going to make a trade with you, Larry Trapp. We're going to give you our love. If in return, you give us your swastika ring, your Ku Klux Klan robe, and your hatred and bitterness. And he did. Larry Trapp's health began to fade. And the Wiesner family invited him into their home to live. Their home became his hospice. Larry Trapp stayed in that home until his death. This Christmas. Maybe the best gift we can give is not the one that's wrapped underneath the tree to someone we love. Maybe the best gift we can give is a gift of forgiveness, a gift of kindness. Maybe it's a phone call of grace to someone who doesn't deserve it. What if we gave that kind of gift? In a group this size, I'm sure there are those who we know that don't deserve that kind of grace because of what they've done to us. What if we did that? What an impact that would make in the city of Bend and Central Oregon. Is it risky? Absolutely. But you won't be the first one to have tried it. And if you need a little nudge, journey back with me to that first Christmas night in Bethlehem. And there was a gift of love, wrapped in forgiveness, in a manger of grace. Christmas. It's the best of times. And so now, let's sit back and continue to listen to our song about our Savior at Christmas time.